Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and today we are welcoming a first-time co-host. Jaden Dennis is with us today. We are extremely excited to have him here. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm great, man. It's quite the opportunity that I was given. Thank you to Sebastian and HCC for allowing me to come in here. And I didn't get to meet all of the great staff yet, but I can't wait to meet everybody. The warm feel that I've gotten so far has been very, very nice, and I feel like family already.
I appreciate that. I mean, we appreciate having you. We look forward for many episodes to come to have you and just talk some sports. We're going to get right into it. Busy schedule. We're going to go right to the Astros, the drama that is just proceeding around Major League Baseball. It seems like every day you have players backlashing on Commissioner Rob Manfred, Nick Markakis calling Astros players out saying they need a beating, Dusty Baker responding saying Nick Markakis must have had his Wheaties to eat. It's just a complete fiasco. It was not handled appropriately, in my opinion. Jaden, you are a Dodger fan.
Correct.
So you would know better than anyone how you would feel about the Astros. So unleash your fury, shall I say.
For one, I mean, the Astros should vacate their championship run. They should vacate the rings. They should be fined indefinitely. I mean, they should be suspended. There's a whole bunch of things that I believe that the Astros should be, because cheating is not good in a sport. But as Skip Bayless said one time,
oh, boy, Skip Bayless quote.
As Skip Bayless said one time, cheating is very, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically you can't have baseball without cheating. Now, I remember personally growing up where the coaches would kind of steal signs and stuff like that. But it would most likely, sometimes it would be meaningless games, but we had to tell him, you know, stop, because you know, it's kind of like cheating. You know, you don't want to cheat. Even if it's a high school game or a little league game, you want to get the extra edge on your opponent, but not to the degree that the Astros did it. I mean, you have the buzzers, the special cameras, and Carlos Correa came out the other day and said they earned their World Series.
He had to give an in-depth analysis on all the games he won, by the way. In the World Series. Every single one.
He came.
We had a runner on second. That's just a repetition of that.
But. Right. And he came in and said that the World Series was earned. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that if you look at the splits between, let's talk the 2017 season. The Astros went through the Yankees, who were projected to win the American League. They went through the Dodgers, who were projected to win the World Series.
Red Sox before that.
You're right. And if you look at the splits, Altuve batted .480 at home, but on the road, under .200.
Hmm.
Is that a coincidence?
I would say no. I would definitely say no to that.
I mean,
everyone will form their own conclusion. I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, I have heard, I mean, I think Correa actually was the one who said this, that there were only three players involved that weren't in this operation. He said Josh Reddick refused to use the trash can banging, Altuve and Tony Kemp, who's now, I think he's with Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. He was with Chicago. He's now with Oakland. So it's just, I share the same viewpoint as you, but taking the championship trophy away, it's going down a very sticky slope, in my opinion. And I get the argument, right? And you probably believe in suspending the players as well. Do you?
Absolutely. I feel that the punishment should be severe, because even if there were some players that didn't do it, what is the main saying that we were taught as kids? One bad apple spoils the whole bunch.
Right.
You can't tell me that one person was cheating and the rest weren't and still believe that it's okay. You know, it was still your organization. It started with the higher-ups, okay? how many people have been suspended indefinitely? Alex Cora got fired.
Yeah, he will find out his punishment.
And he's probably gonna get the same 162 game suspension.
I think he gets more than that.
You think he'll get more than that?
I think he gets more than
then
that.
Then he'll probably get more than that. I mean, what more needs to be said? I mean, when you have people outside of the baseball realm talking about this, saying that they should vacate the World Series, then something needs to change. Now, there will always be an asterisk on that title, but I feel that it should be more than an asterisk. It should be taken away from them. And I could be coming out of hurt because I'm a Dodger fan. And the crazy part about that World Series, from watching it from game 1 to 7, from first pitch to the last out, was definitely how hard the Dodgers fought. And the Dodgers did something that most people didn't realize the Dodgers were capable of. And that was going toe-to-toe with Houston's astronomical offense at the time. Their hitting was on a whole new level. Well, we see why it was now. But they were putting up historic, almost historic numbers. They were considered the number one offense in the league. To see the Dodgers fight them and go toe-for-toe with them, what was it, game 6, that I believe the score was like 12-13 that they won or that they lost. I mean, they were going home run for home run. Something that the Dodgers weren't known. The Dodgers are always known as a pitching-first organization. Always have been. Always probably will be. Dodger Stadium is a pitching stadium. It's not a home run stadium, although the left field porch is like 314.
Yeah.
It's always been a pitching first stadium. All right. You know, you think about all the great players that have come out of the Dodgers organization over the last 20 years. Majority of them have been pitchers. From Kershaw, Greinke, Price, now Hyunjin Ryu, who was a Cy Young finalist. I mean, you know, the list can go on and on of good pitchers that came out of the Dodgers organization.
Hiroki Kuroda is one of my all-time favorites.
And I personally like Rich Hill as well.
Oh,
I like Rich Hill. Rich Hill had his moments. Rich Hill had his moments.
Mr. Blister.
Hey, listen.
Mister, I failed everywhere I've gone except the Dodgers, and I guess he had his nice little run with the Athletics.
I mean,
he was a failure in the Indian system, a complete failure. Red Sox, failure.
Oh, definitely. But that's the thing. The Dodgers.
Oh, it's the Dodgers.
It's definitely the Dodgers organization. It's definitely the Dodgers organization when it comes to pitching, for sure. Can't deny that. Walker Buehler.
He's amazing. He's pretty good.
Exactly. I'd say he's the new ace for the Dodgers.
I'd say he's their best pitcher as well.
So, you can't deny the facts of how good the Dodgers pitching staff actually is.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Even in 2017, even though I believe that was the year before Walker got called up. Yeah, it was the year before he got called up. The pitching wasn't helping the cause of the team win the World Series, because they were getting obliterated in that series. I think then they still had Yu Darvish as well in 2017. And the offense really picked up in a way that I never saw the... Like, you would see bits and pieces of it. You would see flashes. But just like every team, a team gets hot.
Right.
And I believe that the Dodgers had gotten hot. But when they were going toe-to-toe with the Astros at some point for runs, I said, man, we got this. And then we lost this. And what was the one thing? And the one thing that makes this even worse, do you remember what happened in 2017 in Houston?
Which, in game 5?
No. I'm talking about in the city.
Oh, yeah. 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 The flooding.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Why did everybody think the Astros won so exactly? We see how much it really meant, because although they won, did they actually win? And now it puts a big what if on the title itself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I'd say that's the biggest what if now in baseball history, it's definitely a top three. Because you go in, you go into it, the Yankees had a better record. The Dodgers had a better record. I think the Dodgers.
I think the Astros did have a better record
than the Yankees.
Than the Yankees, yeah.
But they didn't have a better record than the Dodgers.
Yankees upset the Indians that year in a series I want to forget quickly.
It was the first round, and they made it right. You're absolutely right, but they didn't have a better record than the Dodgers. Because remember, that year, the Dodgers were on a historic pace.
Mm-hmm.
I think that year, they were on a pace to win 117.
Yeah.
To break the record.
Yeah, they were on in July. Yeah. And then
they fell off, but they still won over 100 games.
Right. I mean, who cares about going after that?
Exactly.
The Mariners won. I think the Mariners hold that record with Griffey, didn't win a title. I think they even got bounced in the first round. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's an irrelevant title. All I got to say is that Dodger line would look pretty damn good with Jeter Downs, don't you think?
Yeah, it definitely would. I mean, I know he's your guy. He's your guy.
It looked pretty good. just that infield of Lux and Downs, and then you could trade Seager.
But why would we trade Seager?
Because he's overrated.
You think Seager's overrated?
Yeah, absolutely. He's overrated.
MLB has him ranked in the top 100. I think he's ranked 67.
Okay, that's fair. I hear people talk about him like he's a top 5 shortstop. He's not a top 5 shortstop in the game.
They're thinking about what he should have been before the injury rather than what he is now. Because if you look at the play, he came back in June, July, mm-hmm. I believe. Since then, I mean, from the end of to the beginning of the postseason, he only batted, I believe, a little over the Mendoza line.
Yeah.
He fluctuated between above and below the Mendoza line. You know, he didn't have much. He didn't have much runs. He didn't have many runs. He didn't have many home runs. I mean, but that's all contributed to him trying to get his legs back under himself. You know, trying to get back into baseball, playing, shape. And then, you know, we're not even going to talk about the abysmal postseason that he had. I mean,
yeah,
it was really, he really didn't come alive at all. But then again, a lot of Dodgers didn't come alive in this past postseason at all.
One thing you will learn about me quickly as we'll move on to basketball shortly, I will make a lot of Carlos Correa jokes because I think he's the most overrated player in the game of baseball. He hasn't done anything, I think, substantial. And, I mean, he had a terrible postseason, but we're talking about how he's, I mean, he hit below 170. I will say this. There was one moment in the postseason, this postseason. Who did the Astros play in the first round? That was Tampa Bay.
Correct.
I think. It was Tampa Bay or the New York series. I can't remember. But he had a three-run bomb.
I think it was the New York series after Tampa Bay.
Okay. He had a three-run bomb in New York. And we have a group chat here. I'll add you in momentarily. But we were talking about the game pretty much. Correa came up, and I'm like, three-pitch strikeout coming up, and then like 3 seconds later, dinger. And I hear about
right.
it. I hear about it every day. But I Correa's just, I don't know. And his comments are just, it's just laughable. I mean, what's the need to curse out Cody Bellinger? I mean, dude, come on, man. Just, it's ridiculous. Let's move on to a topic that I really don't want to move on to, but unfortunately we have to get into this. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers, the pathetic, no good franchise that you guys already know they are. They have parted ways with John Beilein after a half season. He only made 54 games. They're 14-40. Worst record in the Eastern Conference. JB Bickerstaff will take over. Yay, yay, yay. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Jaden, I'm going to let you give you the floor because I'm going to get angry if I speak another word about it.
Well, this is the way I see the situation. It's just now I might bring in a football reference to the great Saint Nick down in Alabama. You know, Mr. Saban himself. One of the most decorated college coaches to ever walk the face of the earth. Beilein was a good college coach. He was a good college coach, and his motion offense worked in college. The thing that most organizations need to realize is that because something works in college doesn't mean that it's going to translate well into the pros. A lot of times it doesn't happen that way. You get lucky when you look at people like Brad Stevens and Billy Donovan, you know, you look at them and you say, well, they're the exception. Well, and then sometimes you think about it, Billy Donovan especially, because I think Brad Stevens has done a very good job about the way he's kept the Celtics before Kyrie, the way he kept them together during Kyrie, and how he's keeping them together and top three in the East after Kyrie. Billy Donovan had not one, but two generational players on his staff. Westbrook is kind of iffy about the generational part, but you had KD. KD is without a doubt one of the greatest players to ever walk the face of this earth. That makes your job a lot easier because there's been so many plays you need to draw up for somebody like Kevin Durant. And Billy Donovan, I think he's what, a two-time NCAA champion, March Madness champion.
With the Gators, just got correct. The court for Gators court named after him. Congratulations to Billy Donovan.
Right.
But don't worry, the generational talents we have, Kevin Love, Colin Sexton, you develop Darius Garland, you're supposed to develop these guys into generational talents.
Oh yeah. I mean everybody was iffy about the Garland draft pick. I mean
I'll just say it for you. He's trash. He's trash.
You don't want to call him trash from the beginning.
I never call a 19-year-old rookie trash. Like, never. I never do. I just refuse. I think it's disrespectful.
It's too early, though.
He's trash.
But it's too early. You can't say that.
You can tell. I put myself through torture watching every single Cavalier. I watch every single game. I have League Pass. I watch every second, every minute, every game.
You definitely watch more games than I have this season. That's for sure.
Darius Garland, there's no stat, but he has to average at least two air balls a night. He doesn't shoot with his knees going up. He shoots with his shoulders. That's a no-no in basketball. That's an absolute no-no. He also will sometimes shoot off one leg. That is also a no-no in basketball.
Unless your name is James Harden.
His playmaking is terrible. He averages about 3 turnovers a night. And this will cap it off for me. Yes, he's 19 years old. Do you know who has the worst WAR in the National Basketball Association among qualified players who've played enough minutes? That would happen to be Darius Garland. Darius Garland has a WAR of -1.4. Do you know how bad of a WAR that is?
It's very, very bad.
That is a terrible. That means you cost your team 1.4. That is how bad this guy is. And yes, he's 19 years old. But with Colin Sexton also had a terrible WAR his rookie year. But you could see the athleticism, the flashes, the want to get better, the desire. Darius Garland, and I don't know the guy, but on the outside he looks like a straight up punk. Like, he doesn't care. And I could be totally wrong. I'm just a complete observer. I'm probably speaking out of the heart instead of my brain. But it just drives me crazy because the expectations. Like, the Cavs front office actually expected us to be good. They thought the Cavaliers would be good. It's the same thing last year. They thought they'd be good.
I mean.
If we have a slightly competitive team, I'll just pick the Cavs to go far just to have fun here on the Benchwarmers Redemption, or the Browns to go, just to have some fun and whatnot. But no one thought they'd be good this year or last year. If anyone thought they'd be good this year or last year, they need to be drug tested immediately.
Not drug tested.
Yes,
man.
They need to be
drug tested.
Yes, they do.
Everybody has their opinion.
You need to take a basketball 101 class if you thought the Cavs. Like, there was nothing that told you the Cavaliers would make the playoffs last year or this year. Nothing.
Playoffs, absolutely not.
Nothing.
But
that's what I'm saying.
The thing that people thought that was going to happen was that they were going to build around the draft. Everybody thought by this time Kevin Love would be gone. And by Kevin Love being gone, they thought they would have assets in return. Kevin Love has constantly gone up to whatchamacallit. He's constantly gone up to the front office. And what has he done? He's requested a trade. He's lashed out on the court. Remember that game? Was it against the T-Wolves?
Oklahoma City.
When he threw the ball. Mm-hmm. When he threw the ball when he was making all his passes. I mean,
yeah, he was mad that he had Chris Paul on him in the post and Colin didn't notice.
Exactly.
It.
I mean, what more do you need? But that goes back to your earlier. Colin is not a point guard.
No, he's not.
He is a two guard disguised.
He's an undersized two guard. He's an undersized two guard that can score. His athleticism, I will give Colin Sexton this. Up and down the court, going that 94 feet, I don't know if anyone's faster than Colin Sexton. And I'm including Russell Westbrook, De'Aaron Fox, and that. Colin Sexton is like Sonic the Hedgehog in terms of his quickness. I mean, he is super fast.
I mean, he's like 5'11".
In the open court, nobody's going to stop him. But that's the problem, and that's all you can do. His three-point percentage, way down than what it was last year. His defense is still rough. And you were talking about build through the draft. You know what you have to do in order to build through the draft? You actually have to pick good players.
Oh, absolutely.
And I still have hope for Colin Sexton.
This is
the last thing I'll say about the Cavaliers because I just want to get this off my chest. Kobe Altman, the Cavaliers general manager, he's widely praised around NBA circles. And it just drives me crazy because Kobe Altman, ever since he's been the Cavaliers general manager, has done nothing but crappy things for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sorry if you're offended by the language, but it's just the truth. One, ever since his first move was pretty much to get Kyrie up out of there. That was his first move. And Sexton was supposed to be the guy. We'll see. I have hope still, but I don't know yet. That was a bad move. That was a bad move because you're fooled and hoodwinked that Isaiah Thomas off a hip injury, which, right, by the way, no basketball player in the history, right, of basketball off a hip injury is ever the same player, but you were hoodwinked by Danny Ainge. Then you signed Kevin Love, a 31-year-old Kevin Love, to a 4-year max contract extension.
134.
Kevin Love, have you Kevin Love by year he's in year one of this extension. Goodness. By year three, he's going to be the new Ryan Anderson.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be the new Ryan Anderson. That's why they had to trade him. Didn't do it, but I don't know why. Colin Sexton, probably the best move he's made. It's not working out. Darius Garland is trash. Dylan Windler, your number 20th overall pick. I'd like to see him on the court. Problem is he hasn't played a game yet. That was your 20th overall pick. Kevin Porter Jr., love Kevin Porter Jr. a lot. Traded 4 second-rounders. Just to move up to the last pick in the first round. Maybe you could just pick Kevin Porter Jr. at 20. But, you know, that's besides the point. And not to mention, this is the third and final fact. The Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be on their 6th head coach in 7 seasons. 6 head coaches in 7 seasons. Do you know how, like, the absurd? It's like the Browns. The Browns are on their 7th coach in 8 years.
Maybe it's just you.
It's just absurd.
It's just you and the city of Cleveland. I think it's time for a change.
It's insane. Sanity.
You know, us down there in Los Angeles would love another fan.
I mean, like, see, like you're talking about changed it, like, and we're you. This is the number you listen to Kobe Altman talk culture, culture, culture. We must have a culture. You know what? What's the number one effect of not having a culture? Change, constantly changing. We have had 6 head coaches in 7 seasons. 6. Did they not think John Beilein would need an adjustment period in the National Basketball Association? Ty Lue's won a chip. How about you just keep Larry Drew? I mean, you know you're going to be stink, so let him be the fall guy.
I mean, the thing with
I have a thing to say about Ty Lue. JB Bickerstaff, I guarantee you, will not be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers by the summer of 2021. I guarantee it because the Cavaliers fire head coaches for a living, and the Cavaliers have not won a playoff series without LeBron since 1993, they are pathetic. Sorry, franchise. Go ahead. I'm done talking.
You had a lot to get off your chest there. How I felt when I remember when we first had our first pathetic. When we had our first conversation. We was talking about the Dodgers, and the first thing you ever asked me was, "How do you feel about the Astros?" I think I went on this, well, it might have been 10, 15-minute tirade. Could have even been 25-minute tirade about how much it hurt me and how much I just wanted to go to Houston just to pay people, just a little visit, you know, just to, just, I just wanted to talk to some people, you know, just to see where their head was at. Like, what are you thinking? You know, but the thing with Ty Lue is that it's easier to win when you have a once in a, I don't even want to say once in a lifetime. LeBron transcends any once in a anything type of player. Because LeBron, I mean, I don't even need to come on this show and talk about LeBron. Because LeBron's name speaks for himself. So the comeback in 2016, 3-1, I remember too, I was watching the series. I watched it from beginning to end, as I do every single series that involves LeBron or anybody. I just love basketball. I watch all the series as much as I can. So the 3-1 comeback, you say, you know, at least Ty Lue has the championship. Would Ty Lue have the championship without LeBron?
No, of course not.
Absolutely not. And the thing is, you also got to think about it. With Ty Lue, oh, the East is much weaker than the West. Ty Lue would have made the playoffs. But would he have gotten past the second round without LeBron? Absolutely not.
I don't think they would have made the playoffs without LeBron.
I think they, I mean, you still have Kyrie. Nope. But
Well, how about the 4 year? We had Kyrie before LeBron came back. They didn't make the playoffs.
That is true. But Kyrie did take a bigger leap in progression, I feel, once LeBron got there.
You don't go from 57 wins to 19 wins just like that without just, like, seriously.
I mean, it's also the LeBron effect.
Can we just call it like it is? The Cleveland fans, by the way, give them credit. They usually sell out every basketball game they go to. The arena's been empty for, like, the past. I was watching a Cavs-Knicks game on Monday. It was empty.
Why would anybody subject themselves to going to a Cavs game?
Well, I just paid a lot of money to see them this Friday. But you know why I did it?
I'm sorry for
but
you.
But you know why I did it?
Why?
Because it's going to the Wizards. The money's going to the Wizards because it's the Wizards' home game. Yeah. The Cavaliers don't deserve any of my money. They are a pathetic, sorry franchise.
And the Wizards do?
I mean, they're playing well. They're battling for that eighth seed.
Ah, they're battling for the eighth seed with a guy who's averaging 30, almost. 30. Didn't make the All-Star game.
Should have made the All-Star game.
Doesn't get the props that he deserves. Is doing it. I mean, personally, when you're battling for the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, that's despicable. That is appalling. That's sad, really.
So then how do you think I feel as a Cavs fan then? We're 14-40 in the East.
Well, as a Cavs fan, I mean, I most people would probably, you know, go drink themselves to sorrow.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
I'm not telling you to do that.
That's my point.
I want you around longer.
We've been hoodwinked long enough that we see through the eyes, it's not emphasized enough. Also, this is the Spurs hired Greg Popovich in 1998.
Correct.
The Cavaliers, this is their 13th head coach since they've hired the Spurs have hired Greg Popovich. Says all you need to know about the difference of the organizations. 1993. This needs to be out there more. Nobody knows about this.
Why would anybody care to know about it?
They have not won a playoff series since 1993 without LeBron James. And that's like you remove like 10 years, whatever it is. Whatever, how long he's been. I think he's been there 11 years in Cleveland. Just remove the 11 years. That's a good 15 years. They have not won a playoff series without LeBron. It is a pathetic franchise. It is a pathetic franchise. Let's just move on to a different topic because I might have to I don't even know. That's that. All right.
Let's talk about some good basketball.
You want to talk about some very good basketball?
Hey,
the All-Star game. That's a basketball that does deserve to be talked about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way they played in the fourth quarter was absolutely awe-inspiring, you know, as a fan of the game, watching it at home. You know, I was actually watching it with my grandmother And my mom, well, my mom wasn't really paying attention, but I was watching it with my grandmother because my grandmother loves sports. Grandma, I'll see you later today. Feel better.
Shout out to grandma.
My grandmother loves sports, and my grandmother's favorite sport is actually tennis.
Really?
Yes.
Who's her favorite tennis player? Djokovic. Serena.
She hates Djokovic.
Oh.
She hates Djokovic with a passion. Because a few years ago, Djokovic said something.
You know I'm Serbian?
I'm
my last name, Marek. I love Djokovic.
You guys would have a fun conversation talking to each other then. She cannot stand Djokovic. I remember Djokovic had said, he made a comment about something about Americans, and it rubs her the wrong way because she loves Andy Murray. Andy Murray's American.
Djokovic is the best tennis player, but we can get to that in another.
He's not.
It's definitely Nadal. No, it's Djokovic.
Nadal is definitely
who's
number
ranked
one.
Number one. Djokovic, end of discussion.
Nadal's
go
ranked
ahead.
Number one right now. Is he not?
No, wasn't Djokovic ranked number one in the Australian Open?
No, Nadal was. We might need to fact check that.
I'll fact check that while you.
We might need to fact check that.
I'll fact check that right now.
But back to the point that we were making. This All-Star game was very awe-inspiring. It was a different feel for the game itself. You know, it was played. You saw so many people come out on Twitter. And what was the main thing that they said? It felt like a game 7 of the finals that they were playing. And for all of them to go out there and put on such a magnificent show, you know, in the wake of Kobe's death and Gigi's death, you know, it was very nice to see. I love this format a lot. I feel the All-Star game is more competitive when they have something to play for. In recent years, before Adam Silver came into the and as became the commissioner of the NBA, it was the All-Star game was really basic. You know, you had the most times people didn't even watch All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because after a while it got boring. I remember growing up, I watched it with my father every weekend. Every All-Star weekend, we came together, we ordered pizza, and we watched I don't know if this show is still around. But I think it was a show that had to do, it was an NBA show, and it had all the legends, and the legends were just talking different stories. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a great show, and we would watch. I remember the day of the slam dunk competition, my father and I would wake up, and the NBA channel would always show all the previous slam dunk competitions leading up to the current one. We would wake up at about 10 o'clock, that Saturday, we would watch every single slam dunk leading up to the current one for that year. That was kind of like tradition. But at the time, I was only like 12, 13, so I'm seeing a whole bunch of 6'6" players and up. And, you know, one year, Spud Webb and Nate Robinson doing it and stuff like that. You know, seeing a whole bunch of these players doing tricks and stuff, and you're 12, 13 at the time, you're like, wow. And then, you know, you get older and it's like, oh, it's kind of the same thing every year. But I personally think that the way this All-Star game, because I personally didn't like anything else for All-Star weekend.
Not even the dunk contest?
The dunk contest, I believe the dunk contest, the
Aaron
way
Gordon,
it used to.
Aaron Gordon got robbed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely robbed. For the second time, might I add, because I believe he should have won the first time against
Zach Levine. I would agree
with
that as well.
Some people disagree because Zach Levine had the, I don't know, one step inside the free throw line, windmill. All right. I mean, Aaron Gordon is 6'10", jumping over a mascot, putting the ball under both of his legs. I mean, give me a break. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the All-Star game and All-Star weekend as a whole. I only really watched, because obviously, I mean, to be honest with you, before this year and the previous years under Adam Silver, what has the All-Star game really been? It's really been
a joke.
Not more, it's really just been a dunk competition between players right. that didn't want to be in the dunk competition.
Right.
You know, and it was sad because through four quarters, everybody's just trying to BS it. Everybody's just trying to, you know, they're just trying to just get it over with and this and that. They're just trying to hurry up, finish the game, go back to do it, getting, you know, back to their teams, getting ready for the last push of the season, the last 28, 27 games that each team plays for the season to round it off. And I remember it might have been last year or 2 years ago when I feel the All-Star game reached a new low when Kawhi Leonard, my favorite player, decided not to play in the entire second half of the All-Star game.
Hey, man, that load management, baby.
I mean, listen, it's done him wonders. He's a two-time champion.
I despise load management.
As a Kawhi fan, I despise load management too, but I can't argue with the results. I just
not
cannot.
Fair. It robs the fan. I think fans should get their money back. I think fans should get their money back. If they pay to see Kawhi and Kawhi's not playing, they should get their money back.
I mean, but you're still seeing Paul George at least. Is Paul George Kawhi? No.
I want to see Kawhi. I want to see the cyborg. I want to see the claw.
I want to see the fun guy. But I want to see the fun guy. But, you know, I mean, it's the luck of the you know, I bought tickets for my brother and myself to go see Kawhi against the Brooklyn Nets on March 25th.
Oh, this year?
Yes.
Wow, that's good for you.
Yeah, I kind of promised him that this would be his birthday gift, and his birthday was in June.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
At least I didn't forget. No, his birthday, I meant his birthday of last June.
Ah.
Yeah, Oz is correct. When he turned 16, yeah, I mean, he's better late than never.
You know what I do for my brother's birthday?
What?
I text him happy birthday and leave it like that.
I made him this promise that we was going to go to this game before D'Angelo Russell even got traded from the Brooklyn Nets. So the schedule that came out, his favorite player is D'Angelo Russell, who might I suggest is going to Ohio State, baby. Yes, sir. Who I believe is going to change the culture of the Timberwolves. I think that was a very
good. I don't agree with that
one bit. You don't agree with it?
D'Angelo Russell's not a culture guy. I love D'Angelo Russell. He's not a culture guy.
I think he's not much of a culture guy, but he's definitely going to change the.
They better win next year.
They're not going to win.
Their pick goes to the Golden State.
It is a top three protected.
Top three protected.
Which was idiotic because they weren't going to get a top three pick regardless. So
I mean, Cavs are automatically there. Knicks will be there.
Cavs are there. The Warriors there. Knicks are there.
Well, no, for next year.
Oh, for next year.
Top three protected next year.
Got it, for next year.
So Cavs will be there next year. Knicks will surely be there. And Charlotte. Charlotte will be there. I mean, some other Eastern Conference boo-boo team.
Could be. Not boo-boo team. It could even be the Hawks. Never know.
God. I apologize for that, by the way.
Let's not even get into Trae Young.
I don't want to talk about Lloyd. Lloyd Pierce just,
Let's not even get into the Hawks.
By the way, let's complete your fact check. Your fact check. I want you to apologize to our audience.
Was I wrong?
You are incorrect.
So what was he, number two?
Rafael Nadal is number two. I want you to see Novak Djokovic on the screen. He is number one.
Was it after or before?
As currently ranked, Novak Djokovic is number one in the world.
That is my apology.
And Rafael Nadal is number two. And Rafael Nadal will be number two or lower. Novak Djokovic is number one. I love you, Jaden's grandma, but Novak Djokovic is the best no matter what. I will gladly debate you with that if I get the chance to.
When their respective careers are over, who do you believe will be the
Djokovic.
Better player?
Djokovic.
I have to disagree with you.
Isn't done. Djokovic has 10 to 15 more years. Easy.
He doesn't have 50.
Easy.
No. No.
Easy.
No. How old is he now? He's, what, 28, 29 maybe?
No, he's older than that.
Exactly. So you say 15? What is he going to do, play doubles?
Sure. He's 32.
He's 32.
How old is Roger Federer right now?
Federer is a different story. All right?
Djokovic is going to do the same thing.
Federer is kind of like the LeBron of tennis, in my opinion. He's definitely like the LeBron of tennis. Federer is, what is he, 39 now? 38, 39? Federer is, he's up there. I know he's up there. But Federer also started when he was, he's Federer. Like, he started young, and he won young. And
well, Djokovic is Djokovic.
I don't know.
Djokovic is that dude.
I mean, listen.
Djokovic, in one less year than Rafael Nadal, has already got 78 career titles, single titles, and Nadal has 84. That's six less. I guarantee you by the end of it, Djokovic will have 10 more than Rafael Nadal will.
10 more.
10 more.
I mean,
Djokovic is that dude. He's that dude.
Not if they play on clay. He's not touching Nadal on clay. You can't even deny that. You can't deny the king of clay.
Yeah.
Can't deny the king of clay.
There's always a first for something, isn't it? Just that'll complete Djokovic's legacy once he wins the French Open. Oh man.
Because he's never won a French Open. Has he? No, he hasn't.
So. No.
He hasn't. No.
It's all right. Well, I mean, he'll be fine. Roger Federer's 38 years old. I can't. Djokovic ain't going nowhere, my man. Djokovic. Djokovic.
Say this now.
It's on national airwaves.
You say this now.
He's 32 right now. By 42, he will be top three in the country.
Djokovic has.
Or in the world, I should say.
He has five more dominant years left in his career.
Don't disrespect him. That's disrespectful.
No, it is not.
That's disrespectful.
He has five more dominant years. I'm telling you.
Jaden's grandma, what have you done to your
grandson? I've been watching him. I like tennis, personally. I used to play it. I like tennis. He has five more years. I'm telling you. He has five more dominant years. Not to say that he won't go on to play doubles.
He will play singles.
Once he turns 40, he will not play singles.
I disagree.
I think he will be playing doubles to try and continue his path, adding more titles to his name. But I do not believe that after the age of 40, could even be earlier.
Don't disrespect the Joker.
There's only one Joker I know, and he plays basketball.
I love that Joker, too. I love that Joker, too, but he's not aggressive enough.
He is not aggressive enough. He likes to pass too much. Too much for my liking. But
tennis. I can't believe we got tennis in on the show today. Great. Ugh. Don't disrespect Djokovic. Let's get some NFL real quick before we wrap up here.
Right.
Drew Brees announces on his Instagram he is coming back, effectively meaning Teddy Bridgewater will not be coming back. He's a free agent. He will get a nice big payday somewhere else. Drew Brees returns to the Saints. Thoughts on Drew Brees going back to New Orleans, who pretty much in his past two seasons, Drew Brees has had 69 touchdowns, 12 picks, super efficient. Thoughts on Drew Brees returning?
I like Drew Brees. Anybody that knows me, anybody that might listen to this, anybody that hears me joke knows there's nobody, and I mean nobody, in sports that I praise more than Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
You should be, ugh.
The funniest thing about it is I'm from New York, so me liking the Patriots.
Isn't that crazy? That's the one thing I don't like about this guy. The one thing I don't like. How are you from New York and you're a Patriot? Ugh. At least you're not a cow. The amount of New Yorkers I know that are Cowboy fans are absurd.
I mean, they're America's team. Which might I say, the Patriots should be America's team, not the Cowboys.
Yeah, the America's cheaters.
They didn't cheat. So what? So the Astros should be branded as such as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I agree with you on the Astros, disagree with
if the Deflategate didn't exist, Spygate didn't exist.
But what happened after Deflategate? Just remind me.
You guys won the most. If the Saints actually went to the Super Bowl as they should have and weren't fleeced by the refs, they would have knocked you guys out.
So they would have knocked us out.
Yeah.
They would have
beat us. Easy.
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 The Rams didn't deserve to be there.
Rams didn't deserve to be there.
You want to disagree with me on that?
I mean, the Rams did have the number one defense in the
league. Yeah, they also got assistance from the referees. You can't tell me the Rams did not deserve to be.
Now, did the Saints get slighted? Absolutely that year, because there was no clear pass interference call
that I've ever seen
in my life.
And that changed the outcome of the game, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It definitely did.
There's my point there. So it would have been Patriots, that doesn't Saints, change the, and the Saints would have won that Super Bowl that year.
I don't
year.
Think the Saints would have won.
Yeah, because they would have put up 20 points.
I don't think the Saints would have won, personally.
They will put up 20 points.
No, the year after Deflategate wasn't when we went against the Rams. It was the
it was when
we went against the Falcons.
Deflategate was
The year after Deflategate was the Falcons, because Brady had the four game suspension, and the 4-game suspension year, they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now back to Drew Brees, because I got a little off topic talking about the GOAT, but.
Shameful.
Drew Brees. And I was talking about it last night. I like Drew Brees coming back. I honestly do. I like Drew Brees' game. Drew Brees' game is predicated on the pass. What does Drew Brees have in his arsenal? Michael Thomas.
The best receiver in the game.
I also believe is the best receiver in the game. What's his nickname? Can't guard Mike. You just can't guard Mike.
I mean,
in the, what was it, the wild card game this year? No, the divisional, because they had a first round. Did they have a first? They did have a first round bye because they were 13-3. In the divisional.
No, they did not have a first round bye.
Are you sure?
Year. They did not have a first
No, round. this year, this past year.
Yeah, they did not.
They didn't?
They did not.
So it was the wild card.
It was the wild card.
Got it.
Green Bay and San Francisco had the
bye. You're right. You're absolutely right. So, in the wild card this year, Michael Thomas had 7 receptions for 148 yards with a fractured hand. When you have a player of that talent in your arsenal, it makes things a lot easier. And to be honest with you, Drew Brees, I think he was injured for, 2-3 games this year, where Teddy Bridgewater came in and absolutely stunned everybody because nobody thought he was going to play as well as he did. I mean, he had 1,300 total yards, I believe, in the absence of Drew Brees. So 3 games, which is very good. I believe Teddy Bridgewater, shout out to Teddy, he's going to get a nice contract somewhere. I personally wouldn't mind seeing him with the Broncos. I like him with the Broncos.
I don't see that with Drew Locke there. I think Drew Locke's pretty good. I like Drew Locke a lot.
Well, you also got to remember Joe Flacco's coming back as well.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
So
Joe Flacco. No, yeah. Joe Flacco can sit. If they play, he is a decorated champion. If they play Joe Flacco ahead of Drew Locke, whoever is in charge of that decision should be fired. That would be absolutely ignorant.
Who are they paying more?
They can cut him for nothing. He's gone. There's no.
He was injured the whole last year, though.
So let's see what he can actually do.
Where do you think he should go? Actually,
I think Joe Flacco.
No.
Teddy Bridgewater. He should go to Carolina. He should go to Carolina.
What makes you say Carolina?
Because Cam Newton's going to get traded.
You think he's going to get traded?
Absolutely.
Carolina just put out something. They're very optimistic about Cam's return.
Every team will do that.
No, but I.
Matt Rhule's not putting up with Cam Newton. Trust me. Matt Rhule is not going to put up with Cam Newton. No.
I personally think they should have moved on from Cam last year, because what is the Greg Popovich, let me rephrase, what is the R.C. Buford way of sports? Trade him a year early rather than a year late. It's worked for R.C. Buford. It's worked for Bill Belichick. This is why they're some of the greatest minds and their respective sports.
Yeah, no doubt.
The thing with Drew Brees is that although he's 39, 40, Drew Brees, which is why a lot of times I compare him to Tom Brady, because you compare their situations. Tom Brady is going on the age of 43. Tom Brady has to get up every day in cold and play in Foxborough.
Oh, please.
He has to get up every day.
We're going to really use the weather.
Is it not a factor? Is it not a factor?
It's like a minor factor, but so what? That's your territory.
I mean, Drew, but can it not begin to affect you as you get older?
Sure.
Do you consistently want to wake up every day, keep taking hits in 20-degree weather?
Well, I think Tom Brady has made it clear he does.
I mean, is he going to stay with the Patriots, though?
What do you think?
Mixed emotions. Definitely mixed emotions.
He's staying. He's going to stay there.
Bill Belichick doesn't want him there.
I disagree with that.
I don't believe that Bill Belichick. But at the same time, they both realize that to keep this thing going.
Brady's going to stay there, and they're going to draft the quarterback. They're going to trade up and draft, hopefully, Jordan Love, because I'm in love with that kid.
They already have.
Don't give me Jared Stidham.
They already have Jared Stidham.
Come on.
Although, Jared Stidham is on the. I believe Jared Stidham will be leaving the Patriots soon, because how do you get pulled from a preseason game? Have you ever heard
Stidham's
of that, Sebastian?
I've never heard of that either.
And he got pulled in the third preseason game for throwing a pick.
Yeah, I've never. So, Jared Stidham's not going to be their quarterback.
And then you also hear reports of the Patriots, they might go after Andy Dalton in the wake of Tom Brady leaving. But back to Drew Brees. I mean, I like it. His stat line while he was injured and stuff like that, he had a QBR of 71.7. I believe that was third in the NFL. No. It wasn't third. I think it was.
It
might have been.
Sure
I know it was the top three. It's third in the NFL. He still has arguably the best receiver in the game to you and I, the best receiver in the game. Makes your job a whole lot easier. I mean, they were fourth in points scored, seventh in passing yards, ninth in total yards. I mean, what? There's no reason. And he was injured for three games.
Yeah.
So those three games, a lot of times, could have been. Might as well have been second in points. They could have been probably fifth in total yards. Seventh. They could have been probably number two in passing yards. Because we know they love to pass the ball. It's the Sean Payton way.
Yeah.
You live and die by a pass. They probably would have been second only to Mr. Mahomes. Because nobody aired it out like Pat Mahomes.
Mahomes is amazing, man.
Exactly. And then, you know, he plays in the dome. It's weather controlled. It's always 70-something degrees in there. So weather is not a factor. I mean, the offensive line is a top-10 line in the league. I mean, the situation is there. His running game, Alvin Kamara, is still pretty good. Even though this year he took a little dip in his stats, he's still one of the upper echelon of running backs for sure. I mean, I'd say if you put Tom Brady on the Saints, I mean, it's a championship winner. It's a Super Bowl winner for sure. You know, but
Tom Brady's not better than Drew Brees is today.
No, he is. He is. I'm sorry. Drew Brees just has better talent. I mean, we just sat here and said Michael Thomas is the best receiver in the game. For anybody who's listening, this is a stat that most people don't know. Of all qualified receivers for every team in the NFL, the Patriots receiving core was in the bottom five of separation. So they couldn't get space.
If Tom Brady's so great, I mean, who cares?
But
Tom Brady's the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
Did
he not do his job? I mean, think about it. You don't need separation
if you're the greatest of all time.
No. So he's gonna throw it into double coverage each time.
Well, he's the greatest of all time. He should find a way.
But who was his favorite receiver?
Julian Edelman.
What was wrong with Julian Edelman this year?
A lot.
Exactly. So when your favorite receiver is taken out, let's see what Drew Brees could do without Michael Thomas.
Shout out to that arrest, by the way, for Julian Edelman.
Oh, absolutely. He'll be home soon. You know, he'll be ready by
Kent
start of
State
next
product.
Year.
Shout out to the Max.
Seventh round pick.
As a quarterback,
absolutely.
Kent State. I love the Mac.
Future Hall of Famer.
All right, so that's your NFL. Future I can't Hall believe we ended on a page. Ugh, whatever.
Had to end with Mr. Thomas.
Any quick final thoughts for you, Jaden?
To everybody who's listening, I'm just very thankful for the opportunity. I hope you guys like my commentary. You know, this was
all of it except Tom Brady, but go ahead.
I hope you enjoyed the parts with Tom Brady, especially. You know, I'm just thankful that you guys were listening, and I hope to be around much longer. And, you know, I'm curious to hear everybody's thoughts, and I would love to argue with people if anybody is curious to come find me. I go to UMBC. So, you know, but I personally, I'm very grateful for Howard Community College giving me the opportunity. I love Howard Community College. This is my first day being here and stuff like that. Shout out to Howard and stuff like that. And just thankful, just very blessed to be here. Thanks, Sebastian.
We are happy to have you here. It's an honor to have you be my co-host. Oh, man, I share the same sentiment as you. I'm excited to have you. You're a good dude, and you know your stuff, and couldn't ask for a better co-host. So
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I'm excited about that. My quick final thought for you soccer fans out there, Manchester City banned from the Champions League for 2 years, rightfully deserved for financial fair play. Pep Guardiola will likely be out. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me today was
Jaden Dennis.
And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.